Let's open with hymn number
163.
The death of Jesus.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In him is salvation, life, and resurrection from the dead. By him we are redeemed and set at liberty. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us.
Be with you. Let us pray.
O Lord Jesus Christ, we thank thee that of thine infinite mercy thou hast instituted this sacrament in which we eat thy body and drink thy blood. Grant us, we beseech thee by thy Holy Spirit, that we may not receive this gift unworthily, but that we may confess our sins. Remember thine agony and death. Believe the forgiveness of sin, and day by day grow in faith and love, until we obtain eternal salvation through thee, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end.
The Old Testament lesson for Maundy Thursday is found in the 12th chapter of Exodus, verses 1 through 14. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. They shall eat of the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head and its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial. And you shall keep it as a feast unto the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." Here ends our here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle for this day is found in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 23rd through the 32nd verse. "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatsoever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if anyone says to you, 'This was offered to idols,' do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I spoken evil of for the food over which I gave thanks? Therefore, whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, to do all to the glory of God, giving no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the Church of God." I read the wrong text, and so now I'm going to read the next chapter and read the right text. For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This is the new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Here ends the epistle lesson. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. The Holy Gospel is found in the 13th chapter of John, the 1st through the 15th verse. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing now you do not understand, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, You are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Here ends the gospel. We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light,
very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 164.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 13th chapter of John, the 1st through the 17th verse. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil already having put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, show unto us the heart of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and the life which he gave for our sins, and the body and blood which he shed, that we might remember all our days, not only our sins, but the blessed gift which he has given us, the forgiveness of sins, which have won for us eternal life. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the night in which Jesus was betrayed is a night which is dear to every Christian, because on that night our Lord Jesus gave to us a special gift, which remains with us still, and which no man can take away from us. It is his body and blood, given in a personal and intimate manner, through the earthly elements of bread and wine. This is a gift of purest grace. Here Jesus gives us the constant assurance that he is always with us as our gracious Lord and teacher, who paid for our sins with the same body and blood which he now gives to us in his supper. On the surface, the supper looks only like a memorial meal. It is humble and reverent, but no human eye can perceive what is given to us in that humble form, the most precious body and blood of Jesus, our Savior. And so in this supper, we have an ever-present and vivid example of how the glory of God was hidden in the humble form of Jesus, even as he hides the priceless body and blood of the Son of God in earthly bread and wine. In this humble form we receive what human eyes cannot see and what can only be known by faith in the word of Jesus, where he promises us that this is his body and this his blood. This is his last will and testament given to you on the eve of his death, the death which redeemed the world from sin. In our lesson at this most solemn time, we see the mind of Christ, and we learn how far his love extends to poor, easily confused, and often wandering sinners. Hear our Lord and teacher, to whom we owe our attention, obedience, and service, became our servant. He does not make us wash his feet, as we should. Instead, he humbles himself, and he, our Lord and Master, washes us. Here the mind of Jesus is opened up to you, and you can see the mind that he had when he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying the words, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And again he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the remission of sins." With this, he is our ministering Master, who washes us, so that even though in our baptism we have been made clean every bit, he washes us still of the filth of the sin which still clings to us in our flesh like the dirt clings to the soles of our feet. We surely do need this washing, for we still have dirty feet. God has washed us without and within. He has cleansed us from our sins in baptism and made us white, fit to stand before his throne. And yet for now, we still tread the dusty alleys and dirty sewers of this world. We live in a world which is polluted with sin so that it can never be cleaned up. It must finally be burned to be purged from such filth, and it finally will be burned up like the trash heap that it is. But for now it remains. So long as it remains, we still walk in this world. We were once a part of that filth, wallowing in it, none the wiser. Jesus came to us in holy baptism, and he washed us clean. He cleansed us from our sin. He poured his anointing over us, giving us his Spirit. Truly, we were washed in his blood. For it is his blood which cleanses us from all sins, and it is still his blood which keeps us clean. And yet we live in a filthy world, and our flesh is still a part of that world. And though we are clean of the guilt of sin by the washing of the blood of Jesus, yet the sin of this world and of our flesh still clings to us. And until our flesh dies and with it our sinful nature, we cannot help but continue to get our feet dirty. This is the spiritual truth which Jesus was trying to teach Peter in our lesson. Jesus said, "If I wash you not, you have no part with me." Unless your sins are washed by the blood of Jesus, you cannot be saved. You are not his own. And therefore Peter, headstrong and unthoughtful as usual, exclaims, "Then not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Peter thought Jesus was talking merely of a physical thing, a physical washing with water. And therefore Jesus responds, "He who has already bathed needs only to wash his feet, and then he is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all." Just as no one can be saved unless he is washed and made clean by the blood of Jesus, so also no Christian can ever think himself so advanced or so holy that he no longer needs the washing of Jesus. And therefore Jesus was telling Peter, "You are indeed clean, Peter, and yet you still need my forgiveness, my strength, and my comfort. And as you continue to sin, however hard you try to avoid it, you need me to continue to forgive you. You need your feet washed even though your head and your hands are already clean." All of Jesus' disciples had been washed in baptism. Here at the Passover, Jesus likewise washed the feet of all 12 disciples, and yet still one of them was not clean, even though he was washed, Judas Iscariot. He was filthy within and without, for he had lost his faith. Without faith, his baptism had become of no effect. He was unclean. But the other disciples were indeed still washed. They were cleansed from all their sins because they believed on their Lord and teacher Jesus. And therefore Jesus said to them, "You are indeed clean." Yet like us, the 11 disciples still lived in a filthy world. They were cleansed and they were righteous, but they still got their feet dirty. Dirty feet do not get better if you ignore them. They will get dirtier still. You have to be washed continuously. And such is our sins. We need the cleansing which only Jesus can give us as long as we are in this world. There could never be a time when we would tell Jesus, "Would you wash me, Lord?" For then it is true of us, as it was of Peter, "If I do not wash you, then you have no part with me." If we are washed no longer, then the filth of sin will spread and will finally overtake our entire person until we have lost our faith and we are clean before God no longer, just like Judas, who had succumbed to greed and did not repent, and he resisted the word of God more and more and the preaching which he heard from the mouth of his Lord and teacher Jesus, until Judas no longer believed at all. This is what happens when you no longer seek the washing of Jesus, which he gives to you in his mighty and humble word and sacraments. These are the only things which can give you Jesus, which can cleanse away your sins with all the forgiveness which he brings. How truly necessary it is that we continue to be washed by Jesus. Consider then how precious indeed this sacrament of our Lord's Supper is, where Jesus comes to us still and forgives our sins. He who is our divine teacher and Lord takes upon himself the humble forms of bread and wine and washes us clean. It is hard to envision our Lord coming to us in bread and wine. His body and blood cannot be seen by human eyes. They cannot be tasted and felt. We taste the bread and wine, and we only know that his body and blood are there because Jesus gives to us his sure testimony in his word. But really, it is no more difficult to believe this than that the creator of the universe would gird himself with a towel and stoop down and wash our feet. That the Lord God Almighty would become our servant in the body of Jesus. If you believe that the Lord Jesus has done this, then what a simple matter indeed it is to believe him when he plainly and clearly tells you that herein he is, in this sacrament, is his body and his blood, the same that was given and shed for your sins, given to you, so that you can be absolutely certain that they are yours and that you are washed. And he does not humiliate himself again to do this. For since he has risen from the dead, he is our glorified Lord and will never again be humiliated. And that makes the gift of his supper all the more remarkable. Your Lord God, the one who created you and gave you breath and continues to grant you life, comes to you still to minister to your needs. He remains your Lord and Master always, and yet he serves you and cares for you so much that he will continue to wash your feet, to come to you with all of his divine power and glory, to cleanse the filth of sin from you once more, so that you may continue to be clean every bit. By washing the feet of Jesus' disciples, he set a wonderful example for us that we do well to heed. He He is still our Lord and teacher. And that means that we are still his servants and his disciples. And we ought to wash one another's feet, to show to one another the same love that he showed to us. This does not mean that we should institute ceremonial foot washing, or we would be just as thick-skulled as Simon Peter. Rather, Jesus wants us to wash one another's feet in the same way that he continues to wash ours, by loving and forgiving one another. Never should one of us, be he pastor, teacher, parent, child, servant, or student, ever think of himself above his brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, nor that the sins of another are greater than his own, nor that anyone deserves the forgiveness of sins less than another. No one deserves forgiveness. No one could possibly deserve the gift of Jesus' body and blood. No one is greater than Jesus himself. And yet Jesus bows down and gives us the example of washing the feet of his disciples, but goes still farther and serves the entire human race by giving them his body and pouring out his blood unto death. Sometimes you will not feel like forgiving your brother, especially when he has deeply hurt you. You may not think he's worthy of forgiveness. At such times, remember your Lord Jesus. Remember how he was harmed above all others by your own sins. But in spite of this, he washed you with his blood and made you clean. Remember how he continues to come to you in his supper with that same body and blood, making you entirely clean. Remember the brethren who sit with you at the same table of the Lord, receiving the same body and blood for their forgiveness that you received. Therefore, there is no slight too deep and no hurt too great that you cannot forgive, if he who is your master has so forgiven you. May we then come to Jesus, our Lord, to be cleansed completely and to forgive one another as he has forgiven us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we give thee hearty thanks that through thy Son, Jesus Christ, thou hast for our good instituted the blessed sacrament of the Holy Supper, wherein under the consecrated bread and wine he truly gives us his body to eat and his blood to drink for the forgiveness of our sins. And we beseech thee, grant us thy grace, that we may at all times be truly worthy and well prepared to receive this gift and order our lives aright until we finally obtain eternal salvation. We thank thee, O Jesus Christ, the Savior of all men, that thou hast given thyself into death for us to make atonement for our sins, and hast also left us an example of mutual service by humbly washing thy disciples' feet. And we heartily beseech thee, govern and direct our hearts by thy Holy Spirit, that we may in true faith firmly cling to thee as our Savior, faithfully serve our neighbor with works of love, and obtain eternal salvation through thy merit, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Amen.
We sing hymn 313.
Yeah.
Dearly beloved, for as much as we purpose to come to the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, it becometh us diligently to examine ourselves, as St. Paul exhorteth us. For this holy sacrament hath been instituted for the special comfort and strengthening of those who humbly confess their sins and hunger and thirst after righteousness. But if we thus examine ourselves, we shall find nothing in us but sin and death, from which we can in no wise set ourselves free. Therefore our Lord Jesus Christ hath had mercy upon us, and hath taken upon himself our nature, so that he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God, and for us and for our deliverance suffer death and all that we by our sins have deserved. And to the end that we should the more confidently believe this, and be strengthened by our faith in a cheerful obedience to his holy will, he hath instituted the holy sacrament of his supper, in which he feeds us with his body, and gives us to drink of his blood. Therefore, whoso eats of this bread and drinks of this cup, firmly believing the words of Christ, dwells in Christ and Christ in him, and has eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, and rendering unto him most heartfelt thanks for the same, take up our cross and follow him, and according to his commandment, love one another as he has loved us, for we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink of this one cup. Having now heard the word of God, let us make confession of our sins. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. And now I ask you before God, who searches the heart, do you sincerely confess that you have sinned against God and deserved his wrath and punishment? Then declare so by saying, I do confess.
I do confess.
Verily, you should confess, for Holy Scripture declares, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Do you heartily repent of all your sins committed in thought, word, and deed? Then declare so by saying, I do repent.
I do repent.
Verily, you should repent, as did the penitent sinners, King David, who prayed for a contrite heart, Peter, who wept bitterly, the sinful woman, the prodigal son, and others. Do you sincerely believe that God, by grace for Jesus' sake, will forgive you all your sins? Then declare so by saying, I do believe.
I do believe.
Verily, you should so believe, for Holy Scripture declares, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you promise that with the aid of the Holy Ghost you will henceforth amend your sinful life? Then declare so by saying, I do promise.
I do promise.
Verily, you should so promise. For Christ the Lord says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Finally, do you believe that through me, a called servant of God, you will receive the forgiveness of all your sins? Then declare so by saying, I do believe.
I do believe.
As you believe, even so may it be unto you. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We continue with the liturgy on page 24. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome through Christ our Lord, through whom with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take and eat.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ,
shed for you, for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you, for the remission of all your sins.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ,
shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O God the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn number 51.
Christ our
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.